job, praise team. Great job, youth praise team. Wonderful job. How'd y'all do that in the robes, graduates? How'd y'all? That was pretty impressive. Walter, especially the sax with the robe, man. I'm impressed. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So we've been talking about how we keep in step with the Holy Spirit for the last couple of weeks, and this is a very appropriate concept for us to talk about on a graduate recognition baccalaureate Sunday. Because graduates, particularly graduates from high school, are thinking about their next steps. Graduates from college are thinking about their next steps. Parents, we're thinking about their next steps, aren't we, right? Yeah. We're thinking about next steps. And one of the things we talked about with this conversation about the Holy Spirit is from Galatians 5:25. And that's been kind of the bedrock of this whole series. And what that verse says is, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And the whole idea behind this is that if we are followers of Jesus, if we are ones who've decided to follow Jesus Christ with our lives, then our lives are spent. We invest our days and our energy keeping in step with the Spirit, keeping in sync with the Spirit. So we spend our days listening for the Spirit, praying, meditating, reading, connecting with the Word of God, so that our lives will follow the Spirit's steps. And those Spirit steps are leading us to growing the fruit of the Spirit, which you also find in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit that talks about goodness, gentleness, self-control, kindness, peace, joy, love, all of these things that God is growing in us. Because really, that's what our life and our future holds for us, whether we're graduates today or not. Our life and our future holds for us the call to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And as we walk in step with the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit change us and transform us, we begin to grow these fruit. Rather than the fruit of the world or the fruit of the sin nature, we begin to grow kindness, joy, goodness, gentleness, self-control, love, and peace. We grow these things and they become more evident in our lives. So graduates, that's what our journey looks like. It's what your parents' journey looks like. What your relatives' journey looks like. Our journey is to grow to be more like Jesus in every area of life, in every arena of life. And we do that by keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Now there's something interesting that happens here in John chapter 3. We're going to talk about those verses. And John chapter 3 is a very popular passage. It's often popular because of that verse, John 3:16, which you've heard so much about. But John 3, Jesus and Nicodemus start having this conversation. And Nicodemus is a Jewish leader, and he's one of the ones that looked up to. He's the one that knows how life works. But he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, you are teaching powerfully, and you're doing such mighty things. No one can do what you do unless God is with him. And then Jesus says, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus gets all confused. Born again, how does that work? How does that work? How does one go back into his mother's womb and then get born again? And Jesus just shakes his head and says, Nicodemus, didn't you ever do 10th grade English? Or 11th grade English, 12th grade English, where you study Shakespeare and you study figurative language. Y'all studied this before, right? You've heard of figurative language. Where you study language, Jesus says, I'm using a metaphorical expression. I'm not telling you that literally you're going to go be born from your mother again. What I'm saying is that your life, in order to walk in the kingdom of God, in order to walk following God's direction, you must have complete redirection of your life. You must ask Jesus to forgive your sin and lead your life because of the work that Jesus did on the cross and because of his resurrection. And when you make that decision, that begin that complete redirection, that is the new birth. That is being born again. And then when you are born again, you walk in the Spirit, in step with the Spirit, and you go where the Spirit goes. And guess what? The Spirit sometimes goes some crazy places. Because you know what we learned about the Holy Spirit last week? The Holy Spirit's wild. Now, the Holy Spirit, sometimes we think about the Holy Spirit, we symbolize him with the dove. He's calm. He's gentle. But as our Celtic Christian forefathers and foremothers from centuries ago taught us, the Holy Spirit also has a wild side. They had a different bird that represented the Holy Spirit. That bird was called the wild goose. Because the wild goose, he runs everywhere. He goes crazy. He runs whatever direction he wants. He goes where he wants to go, at the speed he wants to go, and it doesn't matter to him if he knocks a few things over. It doesn't matter if he causes a little chaos. The wild goose runs. And the point of using the wild goose as a symbol of the Holy Spirit was to say exactly what Jesus is about to say in this passage, in verse 8. The wind blows where it wants. We cannot see where it is going. We do not know where it is going. The wind blows how it wants to blow, such as it is with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes where He wants and calls us to follow Him. The Spirit is wild, friends. He takes us in wild places sometimes. The Holy Spirit, however, in all of His wildness, in all of His craziness, He's like the wind, blowing whatever direction He wants to go. The Spirit runs wild, but He does not run aimless. The Spirit runs wild, and he does not run aimless. It's an important thing, I think, for us to think about, particularly if you're 18, if you're in your early 20s, maybe you graduated from high school. Maybe if you graduated from college or graduated from your master's program, there's so many things out there for you in life. There's so many opportunities. There's so many things. It's tempting to run after all of them and to just run. We run, folks, with a purpose. And our purpose is we follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is always running and always wild and always leading people toward Jesus. The Holy Spirit, even in all of His wildness, even in all of the chaos that may come up, the Holy Spirit always knows where He's going. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is always in sync with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is God, and He's always in sync. The Holy Spirit runs wild, but never aimless. The Holy Spirit runs wild, doing the work of redemption in the hearts of human beings. The Holy Spirit runs wild to change people's lives, to introduce them to Jesus, to say, friends, God loves you, and you can follow Him because He died on the cross for your sin, and in dying on the cross for your sin and in Him being resurrected, you can walk with Him. Please put down your sin and follow Jesus Christ. That's the call of the Spirit, and He's working for that redemption in every single human life. Every single one. Now, the other thing He's doing, not only is He working for that beginning journey, He's also working at redeeming all of us who've decided to follow Jesus until we look like Jesus Christ, until we act, speak, think, and live like Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, when we decide to follow Jesus, when we decide to accept His forgiveness, when we decide to accept His call of the cross, the Holy Spirit moves into our hearts and takes up residence, and He begins the ultimate renovation project. The renovation of your heart, until your heart looks like Jesus. That's your calling, graduates. That's your calling, Christ followers. Our whole lives spent until our hearts and our lives look like the life of Jesus. That's your job. To grow in peace, joy, love, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. Those fruit of the Spirit, we're called to grow these things, to be like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives and does all He can to change us from being selfish, self-centered, always insisting on our own way, resentful, greedy, any other kind of sin that might be in there. He takes the pressure washer to our hearts. And begins to cleanse that stuff away, if we allow Him to. Now, friends, there's something we need to say here. Because the Holy Spirit living inside of you is not the same thing as your conscience. Have you heard the phrase, let your conscience Ah, you have heard it. That's good. What we often think is if we are wanting to do something wrong, our conscience is going to tell us not to do it, and maybe our conscience can keep us from some poor choices. Folks, our conscience is something that we control. You can change your conscience. You can reshape your conscience to give you permission to make poor choices. As a matter of fact, you can begin living a lifestyle that is contrary to Jesus Christ. You can begin living and doing business unethically. You can be backstabbing friends. You can be treating people poorly. You can be selfish. And your conscience, you can tell your conscience to justify your decisions. Because your conscience is, you master it. And over time, if you spend enough time telling your conscience you're right, even if you're doing something that is contrary to the will of Christ, your conscience will give you peace of mind about it. The Holy Spirit, however, you will never silence Him. He will always live inside of your heart, convicting you, challenging you to grow love, peace, joy, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things, challenging you to be the follower of Jesus Christ that you're called to be. He will too. He will live in you, and for all of your life, He will convict you with love and grace to point you back to walking in step with the Spirit. You will not silence Him. You can ignore Him. You can disregard Him. But you will not change His voice, because the Holy Spirit is God and He can only speak one thing, the truth of God. You can ignore it. You can disregard it, but you will not silence Him. Because the Holy Spirit is not under your control. He is wild. God does what God wants. And what God desires is to see your life transformed to be like Him by the power of Jesus Christ. And that journey takes your entire life. He is on that journey. The Holy Spirit is also on the redemptive journey of redeeming the world. He's running wild in our culture and doing the work of God's redemptive mission. Graduates, you have a challenge. Like all of us who are followers of Jesus, it's not just the graduates. All of us have the challenge to make our life matter. To make our life more than just producing widgets, buying widgets, selling widgets, and gaining widgets. To make our life about more than what we acquire and how much fame we amass and how many people like us. We have something to do with our lives that lasts for eternity. And that something is to participate in the mission of God's redemptive work in the world. To see lives change. You have a role to play. And I know some of these graduates here. Some of these folks sitting on this pew are the most talented people you ever want to meet. The things that they have done, the things that they will do, will astound us. The things they have overcome are remarkable. And what God has done in their lives and hearts and the way He's changed them and challenged them, you are not here simply to go and get a degree. You are here to go and be a part of God changing the world. To help people who are hungry eat. To help people who can't read when they graduate the fifth grade learn how to read. To help people who are broken be bound up. To help people who are sick become healed. To help people who are in prison find a new way to show people the love of Jesus Christ with every thought, word, act, and deed. That is your purpose on this planet. To join in the mission that God is doing, that God's Spirit is doing. Because friends, here's the deal. The Spirit is at work. You know, you often hear people say sometimes about churches, this is something people say. I just don't feel the Spirit at work there. I just don't feel the Spirit at work in that church anymore. I just don't feel the Spirit at work in our Sunday school class. I just don't feel the Spirit at work in my home. I don't feel the Spirit in some of my friendships anymore. Friends, let me tell you a little something. Just because you don't feel the Spirit doesn't mean He's not there. Because the Spirit is not about how you feel. The Spirit is at work everywhere in the world. Why? Because the Spirit is God, and God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. And He's at work, and He loves this world more than we do. He loves this church and every church more than we do. And He is at work to see them transformed. He's not just at work in this church. He's not just at work in the church down the road. He is at work in the church down the road. All the churches down the road. He's at work. I don't care. I don't care what flavor they are, what music they play. I don't care if they're little, big, whatever else. The Spirit is there and at work with us and many times in spite of us. And the Spirit is at work not only in the church buildings, friends. The Spirit is at work in the office where you work. The Spirit is at work in the school where you graduated from and the schools where you will go. The Spirit is at work at the shipyard. The Spirit is at work in whatever business you find yourself, whatever grocery store you find yourself, whatever piece of soil where you step this day. The Spirit loves it and is working to redeem it, and you are a part of that plan and process. Because the Spirit is at work and He loves God's creation and He wants to see every person redeemed and brought back into God's plan. So when we, friends, say, I don't feel the Spirit at work with us within wherever it's a church or wherever it might be, we're not saying something about the Spirit, we're saying something about us. Because the Spirit's at work. Spirit is doing His work. And sometimes He's doing it in some places that are desperate where it doesn't seem like He's working. The Spirit is at work in Syria. He's at work in Kabul. He's at work in the headquarters of the Republican Party and the headquarters of the Democratic Party and any other party you can come up with around the world. I don't care if you don't see it. I trust God. And God's Word tells me that there is not a place on this planet and a person in this creation that He does not love and is not fighting for. You all, you graduates, you are filled with talent and filled with opportunity, and you are called to be on the front lines of making this place, this world, the way God created it. Praise Jesus, I am praying that you will be better at it than I am, than my generation is. Because God is at work. God is changing lives. And God's Spirit does not quit. Now let me tell you something. If the Spirit is really at work everywhere, and is really at work in every person, and pleading with every person to come and be a part of God's good work, then you and I have got to face a very painful fact. You ready? The very painful fact is that many times in your life, the Spirit is going to blow you in a direction that you do not want to go. Many times the Spirit is going to blow you in a direction you do not want to go. He's going to ask you to love someone that you don't like. He's going to ask you to love someone that voted differently than you did. He is going to ask you to love someone who speaks a different language than you do. He is going to ask you to accept people and invite them to Jesus and love them and work to do God's kingdom work, even though they are very different from you and you never would have imagined you being in the same place doing this God work with them. This is not a new thing. In Acts chapter 10, marvelous story. I hope you'll read it later. It's your homework. Summer reading, if you will. Acts chapter 10. All the people, God did something marvelous in Acts 2. Marvelous. He made a church of 5,000 overnight out of 120 people. These people were from all over the world. They spoke all different languages. But they had one thing in common before they all came and connected with Jesus. The one thing in common was they were all Jewish. And all of a sudden in Acts 10, the Holy Spirit has the audacity to ask people who weren't Jewish to call Peter and say, please come tell us about this Jesus that you've been teaching about. So Peter goes to Cornelius' home, in and of itself a big faux pas, because Jews did not go in the home of non-Jewish people. So he goes in the home of this Roman leader, This man who speaks a different language, observes different customs. This man who leads the army that oppresses them. And he goes into their home and he begins teaching them about Jesus. And all of a sudden, in the midst of these non-Jewish other people, these lesser people, the Holy Spirit comes upon them just like he came upon the Jewish folks in Acts chapter 2. And Peter is stunned. God, this isn't the way it's supposed to work. But he sees it happening in front of him and he says, you know what? I don't know why God is doing it this way. But this is what the Spirit's doing because the Spirit's wild. We're going to baptize these people. We're going to baptize them into Jesus Christ because they've received exactly what we received. And he baptizes them. And he goes back to Jerusalem, back to the Jewish people, back to the church filled with his Jewish leaders. And he goes back into the church and goes to tell them about dozens of new followers of Jesus in that little place just outside of Joppa. A whole new place where they can start a new satellite congregation. A whole new place where they can start a new youth ministry, where they can start new things, new groups to feed the poor and to help the people of that city. He goes to tell them, I have seen God work in a mighty way. And what do? They celebrate him? No. They look at him and say, how dare you? How dare you give what belongs to us to those people over there? And Peter has to stand up and say to them, you know, I went very skeptical, and then I saw God pour out the Spirit on them just like he did on us. And in that moment, as God had a wild goose Holy Spirit moment, I said, who am I if God has decided to pour out the Spirit on these people? Who am I to decide to stand in his way? Who am I to go against God? And those people in the Jewish church said, you know what? We'll celebrate because God's even decided to pour this out on the Gentiles, on the people who are different than us. They didn't want to go there. As a matter of fact, they spend the rest of the New Testament arguing as if they even should have gone there. Arguing about whether or not folks who were not Jewish should have to become Jews first before they decide to follow Jesus. That's a different sermon. Here's the point. The point is, from the very earliest days of our history, in the Scriptures themselves, God has been calling followers of Jesus to go where they didn't want to go. He's been calling them to put down their own preferences, to put down their own agendas, and to put down their own best ways of thinking it should be done in order to join the Spirit in doing wild work. So make no mistake about it. If you graduates, any of us in this room, are going to follow the Holy Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, you are going to be asked by the Spirit to go in a direction that you don't want to go. It may be a new career. It may be going into ministry. It may be connecting with a new group of friends because the group of friends you were with all decided in college to go and do things that you didn't do. And you may end up lonely following in the way of the Spirit. It may mean folks that are older in this room. It may mean we have to put down our preferences of what church is like. It may mean that we have to understand that God is at work out there and that much of what we do needs to be done out there instead of in here. It may mean we need to put down our own stuff, our own attitudes, our own things, and take up more the calling of becoming Christ-like in every area of life. I don't know what it means, but I know for every single follower of Jesus, if you are going to take seriously the call to follow the Holy Spirit, you are going to get called somewhere that you do not want to go. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you willing to go where God calls you? Are you willing to welcome people who are different? Are you willing to realize that the Spirit works in people of different cultures, even when you might feel uncomfortable with them being a part of our culture. That's just what happened in the scriptures. We just read about it. And believe it or not, that's a very pertinent question for a congregation where 15% of the worship attendance every single week is Hispanic.